BCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Yes, but they're very, very good opinions. Welcome once again. This is Boomer Tech Radio. I am Bob Belongi.
Along with Brenda Belongi.
And we celebrate analog living in a digital world. I grew up with phones with dials on them, by golly, and a radio, old tube radio. Maybe not quite that. I didn't, you know, grow up listening to Lone Ranger or anything. I got parked in front of the black and white Silvertone, and you grew up with no TV at all.
Yeah, for quite a few years, and back when radios were a piece of furniture in
absolutely.
Your house.
Absolutely. Console sets were real big in the 60s and all that.
Quite the works of art.
And now we carry all this entertainment in our pockets, and that's what we talk about every week right here on Boomer Tech Radio. This show brought to you by our very good friends at Advanced Automotive of Reading, safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. You'll find them down there at 5756 West Side Road. Cody and Tim Morlock will take very, very good care of your vehicle. In fact, my Jeep going over there this weekend for a long overdue oil change.
Yes, we've been on your case, but it's been busy, busy, busy. And if you have fleet care needs, then be sure and go and see Advanced Automotive for that as well. They do an awful lot of fleet maintenance for folks around town. And so people we trust.
All right, what's that noise real quick? You know,
we get interrupted by this quite often.
Well, all the radio stations under the purview of the Federal Communications Commission, which this is certainly one, are required to have this little gadget somewhere nearby. And what it is a way to let people know if something really, really bad has happened. It's called used to be called EBS, the Emergency Broadcast System, back in the Cold War days. That was the, you know, that strange tone coming out of your radio when you would stop and listen and say, okay, is this a test or is the world just ended? Post 9/11, they've made some changes to the system. It's now called the EAS, Emergency Alert System, and it gets used for all kinds of things. The National Weather Service makes use of it to let people know when there's, especially in the Midwest, when there's thunderstorms and whatnot, right?
Severe weather, tornadoes, any kind of weather warning is used. And actually, the National Weather Service was part of the old EBS system as well. When I, my early days in the Weather Service, there was an envelope and a drawer, and it basically said that in the case of nuclear attack, right on the envelope, and we never opened the envelope. It was one of those things where you didn't want to know what was in there because you didn't want to have to do something about it. And so if there was an emergency, then we had instructions in there, but of course we never had to use them.
Yeah, the code words.
Something like that, yeah. So it's a good system. They put Amber alerts out over them now, I think, sometimes, and things like that.
So it's a multi-purpose. Sometimes it gets a little overused. And so for all the irritation that the EAS can bring, sometimes usually it fires off at the worst possible moment. It is a tool. And no, I mean, when they did the big test a few months ago, there was this big thing that it was a big conspiracy that the government could seize control of every radio station in the country and et cetera. No, they can't. You know, there's a set of wires that run into this thing and another set of wires that run out of this thing, okay? That's how it works.
There is some local control.
Yeah, yeah. It's a huge felony to do that, but under the circumstances, you know. So I think that a lot of people discount the human factor in these things, in technology, you know. And we get so caught up in technology about the, you know, and of course Hollywood has fun with this inherent evilness of any discovery, you know, that something horrible is going to happen. Look at that last story on Fox about, you know, the Japanese celebrating the fact that they've gotten rid of all their nuclear energy. Nuclear energy has a lot of problems, but, how do you do that and not end up with this huge carbon problem? We can do solar and wind. It takes more oil to make a solar panel in energy terms than you will ever, ever, ever get back out of it.
Well, one of the things that I've noticed in my line of work, because we rely heavily on models in all aspects, is that folks seem to think that they because it came out of a computer, that it's inherently more reliable. Well, who programmed the computer in the first place? Humans. And so models are only as good as our understanding of what it is that we're trying to model. And even then, some of these things defy modeling well. So I always tell people, just because it came out of a computer does not make it more accurate or more usable in terms of accuracy.
It's faster.
It's faster, and it's a tool. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I try to remind them it's a tool. And I know that the National Weather Service would prefer that you do everything through the computer, weather forecast-wise, without ever having humans touch it other than the modelers, but that's not real practical. You know, we don't understand how all weather systems work very well. Otherwise, I'd be out of a job. And that would be okay. I'm getting close enough to retirement that I can handle that now. I'm all for it. Should I start a campaign? I'm not sure. Anyway.
You are listening to Boomer Tech Radio here on KCNR 1460. During the show, we're going to be talking about the moon. Some iPad news. What would this show be without iPad news? Some Android news. And let's see, we're also going to give you tips on how to protect, how to safeguard your data in your smartphone. All that and so much more coming up when Boomer Tech Radio continues.
The rising cost of fuel has us all looking for ways we can save a little, but those few dollars you don't spend on vehicle maintenance now could end up costing you a lot later on. Advanced Automotive of Reading is more than just a place to take your car, truck, or RV for repairs. They're caring members of our community with a big heart. That's why, as part of their car care program, Advanced Automotive of Reading is offering an easy pay option with 6 to 12 months interest-free financing on qualified purchases. And as if that weren't enough, find out how to enter the monthly drawing for $50 worth of fuel. For all the details on these great offers and for the very best in safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community, call Advanced Automotive of Reading, 5756 West Side Road, 244-4423. That's 244-4423.
Join We the People Radio every Sunday morning with Elizabeth Woodward and Aaron Ryan, where we talk about all things fiscal responsibility, limited government, and adherence to the Constitution.
Let's roll, America. There's a job to be done.
This two-hour program offers you the opportunity to learn about issues the mainstream media only delivers in sound bites. Go to our website, wethepeopleradio.us, learn about people that are coming on the show, and if you'd like to hear them in person, find a Tea Party meeting near you. You can find that link at wethepeopleradio.us as well.
This Sunday, We the People welcomes members of Act for America. Their goal is to educate, advocate, and preserve America's liberty from the threat of radical Islam. We'll discuss jihad, Sharia law, political correctness, and how Islam is being presented in our public schools. We the People, Sunday mornings, 8 to 10 on AM 1460, KCNR.
And we're back with KCNR 1460. This is Boomer Tech Radio with Bob and Brenda on a beautiful Saturday afternoon. And
even if it is a little windy.
A little bit windy.
But I like the wind.
We need to enjoy this relative coolness while it lasts, because the North Valley summer is about to descend.
It's coming up on Rodeo Week, right?
Yes.
And
traditionally.
Yes, usually in Rodeo Week we hit something quite warm, and it's looking like middle of the week we might be right around 90. So that's not too bad, as our evenings still cool off nicely this time of year. So no triple digits in sight this week, though.
But if
put that off as long as possible.
If you're a newcomer to the North State, be ready.
I've also noticed that grass is starting to dry very, very quickly. Usually the roadside grass is the first to go. So when things get dry by the roadside, that usually means yards and fields and that are not far behind, in which case our fire danger goes up tremendously. So with all the recent rains and the good grass growth that we're seeing, just be very, very careful.
Yeah, it doesn't take long. Now, tonight, quite a night for sky gazers, of course. The brightest moon of the year. Some people call it the supermoon. It's not going to cause earthquakes. It's not going to make people go crazy running down the street in their nightgown or
whatever.
I wouldn't
be so sure about that.
Yeah.
That's possible. Because I have a girlfriend in Northeast Oregon. Used to have a state mental hospital in Pendleton where she lives. And even if it was cloudy in the dead of winter, she knew when the moon was full. There was actually some anecdotal truth to that in her facility that people would act up at any rate. So, about the full moon.
The moon will appear to be 14% larger and 30% brighter than all the other full moons this year. And the reason is called perigee. Of course, the orbit is slightly closer to the Earth. Not enough percentage-wise to cause increased gravity and rupture all the fault lines, which is what I saw on at least one website that had me just laughing. Of course, this is probably the same website that said that the asteroid was going to take us out a couple of years ago and that Y2K was going to, you know, end everything and yada, 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 yada.
Okay, backtrack a little bit. Science.
Yes.
The moon's orbit around the Earth is not exactly circular. In other words, it doesn't... it's not a perfect circle. So it's somewhat elliptical, meaning it's a little bit oval, stretched out. So during part of the year, it's closer to the Earth, or at times it's closer to the Earth, and at other times it's further away from the Earth. So this is one of those times where it's a little bit closer. Now, most people think that when the moon is coming up on the horizon, that the moon looks bigger on the horizon. But that actually turns out to be an optical illusion.
Yep.
I mean, that's the way that works.
Because it's near an object that you can register and all that.
Except for today, it really will appear to be larger.
Yes. Last night, I went outside and it was
very
wow.
bright.
Yeah.
It was like having a floodlight outside.
Yeah.
This is my favorite time when you have a full moon like this to go hiking in Arches National Park in Utah. You don't even need a flashlight. And you can walk around out there in the sandstone and it's like having, you know, a low wattage light on everywhere. It's awesome.
Now, you can appreciate the very bright moon, but this is actually not the best time to observe the moon when it is full-on facelit. It's like anything that's overexposed. You don't get to see a lot of the details.
Right.
The best time to look through your telescope or binoculars and appreciate the surface textures is about a half or three-quarter moon, I guess.
Right, because then you get the shadows.
Yeah.
And you can actually see that it looks like a shaded relief map, and it gives you a much better idea of the texture of the surface of the moon, which is really quite fascinating. As any kid knows, and that includes adult kids, who've looked through telescopes or binoculars at the moon, and you really don't have to have a good telescope to see a lot of these features, just a good pair of binoculars, and you can observe.
And a steady hand.
Steady the binoculars. You can actually enjoy exploring the moon visually with a good set of binoculars.
Mm-hmm. The moon will be 225,000 miles away from Earth. Its furthest point is 252,000 miles. So it's still about a quarter million miles away. So it's not a huge percentage-wise difference, but this is kind of a perfect storm of events, and so it's going to be very pretty tonight. And so go for a walk in the moonlight. It's pretty. It's too bad it's not a little warmer, because you could go out and do something like a great kayak paddle, but the lakes are still a bit chilly.
Well, the water is, but on the other hand, maybe you don't want it real warm, and it will be a little bit windy tonight with north winds as well, although that makes parts of Whiskeytown very nice for kayaking in the evening or moonlight because it's fairly protected. So,
and before we go to the break, of course, we would be we've segued into things that float on the water, which was our lives last week.
No, yes,
was it just last week?
Yeah, that was a pretty intense 4 days.
We were pre-recorded, and we were up with the U.S. Coast Guard Auxiliary Reading Flotilla 39. We were training and qualifying and doing all kinds of groovy things. And upcoming, a big event in May.
Yes, on day with the rodeo parade, we'll be out at Whiskeytown. We're bringing in a couple helicopters, CHP, and also one of the Coast Guard helicopters from Humboldt. And they'll come over and get to see a rescue swimmer jump out of the helicopter and be picked up by a boat. And they
and
do
hoisted back into the
right, helo. Hoisted back into the helicopter. So we are live in the studio today, by the way, if you want to give us a call. 605-4567.
However, this show may be replayed on Sunday. I was just told
okay. So. Well, if it's Sunday, then we're not
if
live.
If it's Sunday, we're not live. Yeah. By the way, while we're on the topic, VHF marine radios, you can pick them up in the catalogs. You can pick them up at the local West Marine store, things like that. However, they are for use only on the water. And we have heard quite a few instances of individuals using them for camping, for hunting, for things like that, because they're light, cheap, powerful. But
please,
they are absolutely restricted to use between on the water.
Please do not use marine radios on land.
It's a safety issue, especially.
Exactly.
VHF channel 16 is reserved for emergency traffic, and this can draw unwanted attention from federal authorities if you misuse it.
If people notice, they will track you down. That has happened. And marine channel 16 is equivalent to CB9.
Yep, which has completely gone to hell in a handbasket. But
well, that's another story. But most people who have CB know that that's the emergency channel. So marine channel 16 is the equivalent of that. It's emergency traffic only.
Well, when Boomer Tech Radio continues, we're going to have some tablet news. And, of course, the tablet wars continue. Will Apple continue to hold that huge commanding lead in the tablet market? Or will an Android device, maybe Windows 8, step in and kind of take over?
At least give them a run for their money.
Boomer Tech Radio. We'll be right back.
A reliable vehicle is not only important to your peace of mind, it's good for everyone else on the road as well. Regular automotive maintenance can actually help save you a lot of money by spotting and correcting small problems before they turn into those costly major repairs. A tradition of service above and beyond what customers can get anywhere else is what sets Advanced Automotive of Reading apart from the rest. Tim Morlock opened Advanced Automotive years ago with that simple philosophy in mind. And now his son, Cody, is ready to serve their customers well into the next generation of cars and drivers. Come see the difference for yourself at Advanced Automotive. They're located in South Reading, where State Route 273 meets South Bonneview at 5756 West Side Road behind NorCal Transmissions. Give them a call at 244-4423 or visit them online at advancedautoreading.com.
Time to clean your home or office carpets? Looking for a company you can trust? Hex Carpet Care has the best in carpet care technology, but with old-fashioned customer service. They pride themselves with no broken promises. They do what they say. They are built off of referrals. They're the company you feel good about referring. Hex Carpet Care is locally owned and operated, offering same and next day appointments. No job is too big or too small. Give us a call, 710-6267. That's 710-6267. Hex Carpet Care. Simply the best.
It's coming to PBS this fall. It's coming to Reading May 10th. California Forever, the story of the California State Parks, presented by KIXE at the Cascade Theater. Two screenings at 4 and 7 p.m. Learn how parts of California's unique and diverse landscape came to be preserved for the enjoyment of future generations. Tickets available at the Cascade box office. Don't miss a beautiful experience. California Forever, sponsored by KLXR AM 1230, The Record Searchlight, AAA, the Cascade Theater, and KRCR Channel 7.
We're back with Boomer Tech Radio, Bob and Brenda, on a beautiful Saturday, or it could be Sunday. Oh, yeah. So, Apple absolutely, positively defined the tablet market. Now, tablet-based computing has been around, and communications, the concept has been around since Star Trek. If you watch the original series, you will see characters holding in their hands a clipboard-type device with some lights on it, or, of course, the tricorder with the little television screen on it that was a sensor, recorder, communications device. So all the way back in the 60s, people were thinking of these portable electronics. Of course, you look at the communicator, you see a phone. A flip phone, surprisingly enough. And that was 1966, I think. 65, 66. You would think I would have that factoid well embedded.
I don't know.
Brain.
I was barely out of diabetes,
yeah.
So.
Anyway, but it took a lot of miniaturization to get the tablet computer well established. And there have been several attempts. The Radio Shack had a flat tablet-type device with a fairly small screen in the 80s. Also, Epson had a tablet-type computer. But of course, the processing power and mostly the display just weren't there to make it happen. If you ever watch the science fiction series Stargate,
Atlantis,
they made extensive use of tablet type computers. Of course, those, Panasonic Toughbooks, which I happen to own one, pretty bulky, not great battery life, and about an inch and a half thick and probably weighing in at 4 or 5 pounds. It took Steve Jobs and the folks at Apple to bring a viable tablet computer into the marketplace, and they now hold over 70% of the tablet market. Well, okay, 68% of the market right now. So their market share is starting to dwindle a little bit as Android and Windows platforms start coming in. But these other competing platforms are still struggling to gain that good foothold for a variety of reasons.
Well, it's inevitable that Apple would have some competition to its tablet format. There's pros and cons. It's kind of a pain to have. If you have a Mac or you have other Apple computers, having an Apple tablet makes a lot of sense. But if you don't have Apple desktop or laptop or something like that, it's not that you can't use it. It's just a little more awkward, I guess, is maybe the word.
Now, the cloud cloud integration among Apple devices, for instance, my iPhone and my MacBook Pro and my desktop, if I so choose, could all be linked together through iCloud. And when I modify a document or save a picture on one, it jumps to the others. So you've got kind of a binding little mini network that's yours personally.
That's a nice feature.
Yeah. It could also be a security issue. But within Apple, it works fairly well. And but market research is indicating that as the Windows 8 system, if they can get some of the problems worked out, and reviewers so far are very happy with Windows 8.
They will eventually.
Yeah. That Microsoft may do to Apple with tablets what they did to them with PCs back in the 1980s.
Well, look at it this way. Windows can't afford not to work the bugs out of Windows 8, especially after the disaster of Vista and that operating system. Then they have a vested interest in putting out something that people like. And face it, you know, in the business world, you pretty much are into a PC format. Not exclusively, of course, because there's many businesses that use Apple as well. But, you know, it's the old Chevy Ford thing.
Enterprise businesses, you know, corporate businesses have been dead set against anything with the Apple logo on it for licensing reason, for reasons of compatibility. But, of course, with the popularity of the iPhone and the iPad, that is changing rapidly. Even some government agencies are rapidly adapting the iPad because it was first with the most there.
Right. And it doesn't mean that they wouldn't switch over to something else if somebody comes up with a better deal, cheaper deal, more compatible with their other computers, et cetera. I watch that to happen. You know, again, like you said, because Apple comes up with these great ideas, and then these other folks, it's sort of like they ride on the coattails and end up overtaking them and burying them in the dirt. But Apple does have a very stable operating system. You know, it doesn't have boo-boos. And that is, I know, one of the features that people who are real Apple fans like is that you don't have all of these burbles and warbles and security issues.
You rarely get the
issues.
Blue screen of death type
exactly.
thing. You might get the pinwheel once every few months.
Right. And it, unlike a PC-based system, particularly with Microsoft software on it, seems to have constant problems. And then the security breaches, I think, are Microsoft systems are a little more vulnerable probably than
Apple. Because they are more popular.
Right.
But a Unix-based system, which is what Apple's OS X is at its core, is inherently more resistant to these types of attacks.
It also has a lot lower overhead. In other words, it doesn't take as much brain of your computer to make it work. Then there's some pluses there as well.
Yeah, so if you just try to compare the computers side by side in terms of memory, processing power, things like that, more bang for the buck out of an Apple-type system. And the longevity. My MacBook here is an 08, I think, still going very strong with its dual-core processor, and it'll still run rings around some of the new quad-core Windows-based systems.
So if you're shopping for a computer, which most of us have to do every once in a while, just some things to keep in mind.
Yep. Now, iPad, another iPad story that came up during the research, you know, dominant force of in tablet sales. But did you know that Let me see here. For as they go through the internet browsing right now, the iPad has 94% penetration into the market as far as internet browsing goes. Most people who have Android-based tablets are using them more task-oriented, but for generalized browsing, the iPad is just really far and away the leader of the pack.
It is tough to beat. I mean, I'm over here surfing on the internet on my pad right now, and it is slick. It's one of the things I really like about it. Rather than fire up the PC or laptop at the house, I just whip out my pad and off we go. It's quite handy.
Well, aiming to get a sense for how powerful the tablet is, the online advertising network Shatika, I hope I pronounced that correctly, they looked at the devices they were serving ads to, that they were almost exclusively Apple tablets. That's pretty amazing. For every 100 iPad ads that they send out, because your device lets the server know what it is so that it can get the proper format, for every 100 iPad impressions, slightly more than one Samsung Galaxy and one Asus Transformer Prime, and even lower than that for the Motorola Zoom, BlackBerry Playbook, and Kindle Fire, Nook is barely even showing up in online advertising requests. Nook appears to be more oriented at just providing a reading platform.
Of course, what is it Nook and Microsoft hope to, or who was that? Barnes & Noble and who was it?
Barnes & Noble made the Nook, and then Amazon made the Kindle.
Yeah, but there's that collaboration going on so that they hope the Nook rises up because of textbook sales and that sort of thing.
But, of course, Apple's head of the pack in that, too. So, pretty amazing stuff.
Well, and there's your weekly dose of Apple news. What would be Boomer Tech without a weekly dose of Apple news?
Well, there's other things going on. For instance, while the iPod really started the portable electronic music craze, and there have been several attempts at supplanting that, most notably the iRiver and a few other platforms, the Microsoft, I can't even remember the name of it because it failed so badly, the Zune. Samsung now trying to get into the personal media player market. Do you really need all the smartphone features if all you want to do is listen to music and play a few games?
Probably not.
We'll be back after this.
The rising cost of fuel has us all looking for ways we can save a little, but those few dollars you don't spend on vehicle maintenance now could end up costing you a lot later on. Advanced Automotive of Reading is more than just a place to take your car, truck, or RV for repairs. They're caring members of our community with a big heart. That's why, as part of their car care program, Advanced Automotive of Reading is offering an easy pay option with 6 to 12 months interest-free financing on qualified purchases. And as if that weren't enough, find out how to enter the monthly drawing for $50 worth of fuel. For all the details on these great offers, and for the very best in safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community, call Advanced Automotive of Reading, 5756 West Side Road, 244-4423. That's 244-4423.
Hi, I'm Jeff Hess with Hawkins Companies, a family-owned business for over 35 years. We have purchased the empty Gottschalks building and are proud to welcome Sportsman's Warehouse and Goodwill to Reading. Sportsman's Warehouse alone has brought 80 permanent new jobs to the Reading area. This project has contributed approximately $14 million annually in taxable sales to the economy, and we would like to do more. We would like to thank you for your tremendous support of these projects.
Let's sell with Ernie and Dave, your radio flea market. Hey, we're having a big yard sale on Charlane Drive off Airport Road. Folks, that's the 19th and 20th. $20 for the weekend. If you want to join us, 945-1957. There's going to be everything imaginable under the sun. Give us a call at 945-1957.
Join Ernie and Dave from Let's Sell It on KCNR 1460 AM for a huge yard sale May 19th and 20th. That's 945-1957 to reserve your spot or for more information.
Welcome back, Boomer Tech Radio, halfway through the hour, and boomertechradio@yahoo.com. Best way to contact us, let us know if there's a topic you would like us to cover, or to offer praise, or say, what do you two think you're doing?
We often wonder that ourselves. So,
if all you want to do is listen to music, play a few games, things like that, do you necessarily, absolutely, positively have to go out and spring for a smartphone?
The other side of that, however, is how many little electronic devices do you want to pack around? So sometimes you have to weigh these things.
But if you want a phone that just makes phone calls, but you still want to be able to listen to music and play with some of this stuff, there are cheaper alternatives than the $400-plus iPhone device.
Absolutely. Not to mention the fact that the data plans and whatnot that support a smartphone, it is expensive. So if you just want a cell phone for a cell phone and these other things, it's a cheaper alternative.
Yep. So and of course, the iPod Touch has been around for quite some time. I still have one and use it from time to time at the house because it's tied into our Wi-Fi network, and I can download music and play a few games, things like that. The king of the category, of course, the iPod Touch, costs about $199. It's a Wi-Fi only device. Looks like a somewhat thinner iPhone. Runs many of the same apps that'll do email, web surfing, as long as you are at a Wi-Fi hotspot. And, of course, they abound these days. You walk into a Barnes & Noble's, you walk into a Mickey D's, whatever, you can check your email, do that things, and through services like Skype, make phone calls.
We were
without the cellular bill.
At a little mom-and-pop cafe in Lakehead, and they had Wi-Fi.
Yep.
It's great.
So, and many of the coffee shops, things like that, offer that, and all you have to do is go to the counter and say, what's your password? Well, Samsung is saying, hey, there's a market here, and so they've come out with a new media player for those, and it's a little bit cheaper and has some nice features that the iPod Touch does not have. The Galaxy Player 3.6 from Samsung, and I'm really impressed with Samsung's overall product strategy. They were really a low and television maker back in the 80s and 90s, and they have stepped up. Their Galaxy Tab is one of the popular up and coming tablets. We've seen their innovation displays at the CES. They seem to be very savvy in figuring out what the market wants, and apparently this and their build quality is pretty darn good.
Yeah, that's come up considerably as well. So their engineering is improving, and either that or they're very good at marketing something. But people, even if you're good at marketing, a company's good at marketing something, people won't use it unless it really appeals to them. And that's a tricky part. Sometimes you don't know about that part.
Well, the $150 entry model Samsung Galaxy Player has 8 gigabytes of internal memory, which I think is what my iPod Touch came with. However, you can expand through the use of micro SD cards up to 32 gigs of internal storage. And I like that. My Palm Treo had expandable storage via SD card. And I found that to be a nice feature that I really missed when I switched over to the Apple iPod and, of course, my iPhone.
That's because you can take stuff off of there and put stuff on there. It is nice to have that flexible.
Yeah.
Flexibility.
I still want to see a tablet with an SD card slot. I want with a HDMI connection and a USB port all in the base unit. But of course, that all adds complexity. The closest I've seen is the Asus Transformer Prime with the docking station, which is an extra $150, but it gives you a keyboard, another 10 hours of battery life, and a USB port. And essentially turns it into a miniaturized laptop.
Pretty slick. That's kind of neat when you think about it, compared to notebooks were popular there for a while because they were small and light.
Now the netbooks,
Netbooks, yeah. I call them notebooks, but netbooks. And those seem to have kind of gone by the wayside. And now the new thing is the,
convertible tablets.
Well, no, the Apple has one. The little smart books are... I don't know. What are those computers?
The MacBook Air.
Yes.
Now,
but they got a name for that kind of laptop.
Yeah, Ultrabook.
Ultrabook. That's what I was looking for.
Several companies have come out with Ultrabooks. Very powerful, very light, all solid state, no spinning hard drive, but pretty darned expensive right now.
Downfall, yes.
A MacBook Air that'll do the things that I'm looking to have it do is going to cost me about $1,300-$1,400. I can invest that in a tablet with an external keyboard and just still be ahead of the game.
That's true enough.
And that, in fact, is on my short list. The other thing that's on my short list is one of the new Motorola tablets that, if you get it through Verizon, will give you a Wi-Fi hotspot all rolled into one. So it can be a standalone device on a 3G, 4G network, but also help you tether other devices to get on the air and surf the internet. And for the kind of stuff we do, that I think is going to be one very important option.
Definitely worth one looking into.
When we come back, I know we said we'd done all our legal, our Apple news, but Apple has another legal headache about location services, and we're going to talk about how to protect your smartphone from getting hacked.
A safe and reliable vehicle is not only important to your peace of mind, it's good for everyone else on the road as well. Regular automotive maintenance can actually help save you a lot of money by spotting and correcting small problems before they turn into those costly major repairs. A tradition of service above and beyond what customers can get anywhere else is what sets Advanced Automotive of Reading apart from the rest. Tim Morlock opened Advanced Automotive years ago with that simple philosophy in mind, and now his son Cody is ready to serve their customers well into the next generation of cars and drivers. Come see the difference for yourself at Advanced Automotive. They're located in South Reading, where State Route 273 meets South Bonneview at 5756 West Side Road behind NorCal Transmissions. Give them a call at 244-4423 or visit them online at advancedautoreading.com.
I'm here with Joe Adamson of Adamson's Peak Performance. What's going on at Adamson's?
Hi, Rachel. Summer's almost here, and you know what that means. Swimsuits, shorts, tank tops, now's the time to get started. Virtually every client that comes to Adamson's Peak Performance wants three things. Lose fat, look better, and feel healthier. We've developed a personal training and nutrition program that accomplishes just that.
Can you tell us a little bit about this program?
Yes, it's called the New Body 180 because it's 180 days long and because it includes everything you need to make a 180 degree change in the way you look and feel.
Well, I hear you've had some really great results with this program.
We've had women lose up to 3 jean sizes in just the first 12 weeks.
To get started or for more information on the New Body 180, call Steve at 221-8006 or go online to adamsonspeakperformance.com. Get the New Body 180. Turn your life around with Adamson's Peak Performance.
And back again with Boomer Tech Radio. And I know we said we were all done with Apple, but this little tidbit popped up, and I had to throw it out. Remember the big location controversy where some people decided that Apple was secretly recording your every move and uploading it to their servers for
nefarious purposes?
Well, a California judge has greenlit a class action lawsuit accusing the company of collecting the location data without their express permission. U.S. District Judge Lucy Coe, what do you want to bet she's in San Francisco, ruled this week the discovery phase of the class action lawsuit will proceed and ordered Apple to turn over relevant documents by May 17th. Apple had been fighting to have the case tossed, arguing that the plaintiffs have so far failed to prove they suffered any actual injury at Apple's hands.
That's my question, is what is the point of the lawsuit?
Money!
Well,
Apple has deep pockets. You've seen the reports, and people can get themselves all in a tizzy. This is not something that is unique to Apple. Why aren't people going after Google with these kinds of lawsuits?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's what I find interesting.
It's a deep pockets thing. Someone sees the opportunity to get their undies in a bunch and score some money in the process.
I suppose that's probably the ultimate deal.
But that's just my opinion. I could be wrong.
So back to keeping your smartphone secure, I have a question about that.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any way to hook up a smartphone via USB cable and extract information off of that if you don't have the password and that sort of thing. What are the opportunity for that?
It has to be, okay, I don't think you can tether it unless you are into the operating system. It'll ask you to unlock it. At least when I plug in my Apple, that smartphone is registered with my iTunes.
Right.
And, of course, more recently it uploads to the cloud. So unless you're actually into the system, which on Apple it's a four-digit code, it's a PIN number, and after 10 tries, you can tell your Apple iPhone, if somebody tries 10 times to enter the code and fails, wipe the phone, which is kind of nice. Now, an even more interesting way...
Well, it could be kind of a pain, too, at the same time, because that... You know, if all of your data is lost, hopefully you have it backed up. That would be nice. But if it wipes your phone free, at least someone can't use it. That's the nice part. But the bad part is then you got to go and retrieve all your data. So it's always good to back these things up, which reminds me I need to do that with my phone. Yes. I haven't been on there for a while.
Of course, using the iCloud service, even if something happens to your phone, it gets stolen, and you have it set to self-destruct if somebody's trying to get into it, you know, basically wipe itself. You also have services like Find My iPhone, things like that. At least your data, your pictures, all your stuff is safe on your other systems or in the iCloud.
Why would anybody want to be worried about having their smartphone hacked?
Well, of course, there's been all these stories, you know, over in England and less so over here about celebrities having their accounts hacked into. So
see, that's the part that confuses me. Does somebody actually get a hold of their phone?
Mostly it is done through the voicemail access. Or a remote access client, as I understand, or physical, if somebody gets hold of the physical phone. So as you know, it takes extra steps to unlock your phone, but always lock down your phone. You know, it's just a basic, it's a reality. There are people who might want to get into your detail for bad reasons, and want to poke around through your data. So just by default, for example, I have encrypted some personal information, but it's also under the basic phone lock. And I have my phone set with 10 bad attempts. And so if you go through 5 attempts and you have realized you've forgotten your PIN number, it's time to get your backup plan going and go through your cloud account and unlock your phone that way. So you want to password protect your voicemail, and don't use the same 4-digit code for your voicemail that they use to lock the phone.
Or the same 4-digit code that you use for
your ATM
card or any other myriad numbers of things like that, yes.
Now, if you've lost the literature that accompanied your phone on how to enable these features, go to your phone's retailer or website. They have information about your phone, including how to unlock it if you have, in fact, completely forgotten all your information. They'll go through all the... verification procedures, make sure that you are, in fact, you, and help you get your information back. But don't leave your phone out there. Oh, it's like leaving your front door unlocked. Your data is your wealth these days.
Yep. There could be stuff on there that you don't even realize that could be damaging or personally identifiable information that could be used to get into other accounts.
Yeah. Don't use a password that's easy to guess. Pet names, common words, things like that. There are hacking programs that will just brute force try to unlock your device. Don't use your birthday. Don't use your mother's maiden name. Don't use a pet's name. Da 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 da. Use a random number sequence. We talked a few months ago about that website that will generate 6 to 20 character passwords for you that include spaces, characters.
Capitalizations, special characters.
At the very least, use an unusual capitalization process to encrypt your data. You know, use complex strings that involve uppercase letter, number, symbol. The more complex, the more secure the password. In fact, a lot of sites will now rate your password as you enter it.
I've noticed that. That seems to be on the increase.
Don't use the same password for all your phone accounts. And change it once in a while. Yeah. Something I'm probably guilty of not doing.
Oh, I don't do that so much either.
And if you have a Bluetooth enabled on your phone, turn discoverable off. because somebody else sitting three tables away, if your device is discoverable, they can get into your phone. And this is a case that has happened a few times. And if you have mobile security software available for your mobile device, go ahead and install it. There are currently no viruses for mobile phones. There are malware apps that will try to steal information. While you're, if you're doing your banking by phone or things like that, especially as we start moving into that, wallet option where the phone becomes the wallet, it displays a barcode that you wave in front of the scanner, or it sends a radio signal, that is hopefully encrypted. As we start moving more of that and more of that information stays on the phone, that can be a danger. And also a story earlier this week about if you are all done with your phone and you want to give it up, make sure it is, the phone is wiped. If you're really paranoid, destroy the phone because, yeah, you're destroying a $200-$300 device that is, you know, may still have some value, but how much is your information worth? How much is possibly having all your bank accounts compromised worth?
So come up with the security.
There are data destruction companies. If you're worried about getting some toxic metals, whatever, into the landfills, go to a reputable company that will destroy your hard drive, destroy your phone, destroy whatever, and make sure that that data goes bye-bye.
That's the interesting thing about the complexity of smartphones. These devices are handy. They're, you know, you end up having your life in there with on the calendar and that sort of thing. To remind you of these things, use it for your alarm clock, listen to your music, send emails, get emails, and so on and so forth. But with that comes maintenance. It's sort of like having a scooter versus a car. Both have to be maintained. The scooter, hopefully, is more simple. The car is more complex and requires more maintenance. So you definitely have to maintain these things. If you're not into that, then maybe a smartphone's not the way you want to go.
We'll be back for our final segment on Boomer Tech Radio with Bob and Brenda. We'll be back.
A safe and reliable vehicle is not only important to your peace of mind, it's good for everyone else on the road as well. Regular automotive maintenance can actually help save you a lot of money by spotting and correcting small problems before they turn into those costly major repairs. A tradition of service above and beyond what customers can get anywhere else is what sets Advanced Automotive of Reading apart from the rest. Tim Morlock opened Advanced Automotive years ago with that simple philosophy in mind, and now his son Cody is ready to serve their customers well into the next generation of cars and drivers. Come see the difference for yourself at Advanced Automotive. They're located in South Reading, where State Route 273 meets South Bonneview at 5756 West Side Road, behind NorCal Transmissions. Give them a call at 244-4423 or visit them online at advancedautoreading.com.
There's new coffee in the store at Tobacco and Brew. Full beans by the pound. Portland blend. A rich flavor with a moderate body. And how about a favorite? Italian roast. Dark flavor with an enticing aroma. Try the coffee special of the month. Cookie and cream. A blended 20-ounce drink for just $3. Can you imagine a blended 20-ounce drink for just $3? What else, Carl?
Tobacco and Brew has the finest walk-in humidor in the state. Walk in and find any cigar that you could possibly want at great prices. Also, veterans get discounts at Tobacco and Brew.
And don't forget, Tobacco and Brew is closing out on their T-shirts and leather jackets at huge savings. Our favorite place to go, Tobacco and Brew, for all your coffee and specialty needs. 2143 Hilltop Drive, Tobacco and Brew.
Back for one more segment, Boomer Tech Radio with Bob and Brenda here on KCNR 1460. Of course, you can email boomertechradio@yahoo.com. Okay, you go to play a movie on your computer and
it doesn't do it. And you get this message that says you need to download the proper codec. So I had this experience where I was the other day, a laptop computer, and I had Windows Media Player and an MPEG or MPG.MPG file that I wanted to show display on the computer. It didn't cooperate. So I can't be your wife without learning a few technical things about electronics. But this one was a new one on me, so of course, through the miracles of technology, a.k.a. texting, I contacted you, my ultimate consultant on these matters. And for those who are new to the show or don't remember or are confused, what's a real quick thing? What is a codec?
Codec is a term that means coder-decoder. Why? Video and audio information, if you just have the raw information there, takes up monstrous amounts of memory. And especially back in the day when memory was pretty premium, we had to come up with ways to do shorthand. People who are like boomer tech age know what shorthand is. It's practically a lost art. It was a way of condensing words down into a very compact symbology.
Bird tracks.
Bird tracks.
It looked like
but
bird
to
tracks.
A person who knew how to. So right. That was the encoding process.
Like a court
the stenographer
reporter. Right.
Would encode that data and then could decode, that's the deck part, could decode that data back into words. And same with, a court reporter. You look at those little things that they use to mm-hmm. this day mm-hmm. In the courtroom. It is encoding the data, and that's exactly what happens in the digital domain. Redundant, unnecessary components of the signal, whether it be video or audio, are put aside, and the rest of it is compressed down. But if you don't have the super secret magic decoder ring codec installed on your computer, it's all gibberish.
It doesn't know what to do with it. So I was puzzled by this because I've never seen this happen before. Well, as it turns out, normally what Windows Media Player would do is immediately go out on the web somewhere and retrieve that codec so that it could play your movie. Is that correct?
Correct. The header information for the digital data file says, this is what I am. This is the kind of file that I am. This is the type of compression that was used, yada, yada, yada. And Windows Media Player, iTunes, whatever, will run out to the internet, to a server, and say, okay, what do I need to be able to read this? It looks for the little Rosetta Stone out there somewhere, downloads it back into your computer. The process generally takes a few seconds, unless
you're not connected to the internet.
Or if you have a heavy, nasty, brick corporate firewall that won't let you put anything on your computer.
That's as well. But in this case, that is in place as well. But in this particular case, there was no internet connection for this computer, and so it didn't know. It had nowhere to go to get the decoder ring. So I was stuck. It was a very interesting experience because it's not something that you run into because we are so connected typically, particularly on corporate computers. So shy of getting my little laptop out and hooking it all up, it just wasn't worth it. I said, well, you know, go search this out and look at it yourself, and then you can see it, because it was a YouTube thing. And I said, all you have to do is that. So people could go look it up, but it kind of took away from the presentation in that capacity.
Yeah. By the way, if you have Firefox, this was the challenge that was thrown at me the other day. Someone here wanted a particular YouTube video that they could get a copy of. And YouTube doesn't have direct downloading, and most media players don't directly download. However, if you are using the Firefox browser, at least on my Apple platform, I found this, you can download a plugin, which is a little helper program, a little gadget for your browser, that allows you then to download a YouTube video and convert it into most commonly an MPEG-4 type file, which is very nice and compact, and then you can play it back offline. So Firefox and then the YouTube downloader plugin, a very handy tool if you want to be able to share some offline YouTube video. Now, some of them are restricted. It worked fine on the couple that I tried it on.
Nifty. Another argument for using Firefox. Well, I see. Also, this week, someone who's a science and technology buff, who could not like Star Wars?
Oh, absolutely.
It's just iconic, right? So I see we missed out on May the 4th be with you. Last year, folks in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, started having May the 4th be with you with a costume contest. They did another one this year. And if you missed out on that Star Wars event, not to worry. The city of Los Angeles has declared May 25th. May 25th to be Star Wars Day in honor of the release date of the original Star Wars in 1977. So, good month for Star Wars.
And that's all the time we have for this episode of Boomer Tech Radio. Be back next week, Saturday at noon on KCNR. This program is a production of Belongi Entertainment Enterprises. Theme music from George Wood, 8-Bit Junkie, composed and performed and used by permission. Wherever you go, whatever you do, be safe. Good to each other. We'll talk to you next week. This is KCNR Shasta Redding.
Fox News Radio, I'm Hank Weinblum. Repeated disruptions of today's arraignment hearing at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba for 9/11 plotter Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. He and his four co-defendants refusing to answer questions. Tough for the victims' families to see.
We spoke with Eddie Bracken before he came down to Guantanamo Bay, and he said he had to be there today for Lucy.
As a family member, to know that if that was me, my sister would go there for me. My sister would face that guy. I have no problem with facing them.
We're still expecting the suspects to enter some kind of plea in this proceeding.
Fox's Catherine Herridge at Guantanamo Bay. President Obama in full re-election campaign mode today. The president at a rally at Ohio State.
The scoreboard at the basketball arena plastered with Obama-Biden signs and the stands full of red, white, and blue bunting as the president unveiled a new stump speech entitled Moving America Forward.
That's what we're fighting for, Ohio. A bold America. A competitive